Well, Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word today will bring us light, illumination. I bless you, Father, that you have anointed our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our heart to perceive, to receive, to understand, to know, so that you equip us to do. Lord, I bless you for my brothers and sisters here in this house. I thank you that your anointing breaks every yoke, removes every burden, and sets every captive free throughout their entire being. Lord, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ for the name that's always above every name. And we proclaim that name over this house, over lives here, over families, children. And Father, we thank you that that name is penetrating with the strength of that name by the anointing, by the power of the blood of Jesus, and by the entrance of the Word of God. For the illumination, the light that is needed in this day and this hour to increase upon our lives. Lord, we bless you and we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, you're doing well, church. Amen. You're all ready for what lies ahead of you? Huh? I think there's some things lying ahead. Is Christmas Wednesday? Y'all ready, right? Y'all shopped out? Y'all what? all spent up? We won't go there. All right, amen. I got 22 minutes, all right. I want to close as early as possible because I want to see your smiling faces tonight, all right? And I do know that I can be long-winded and I need mercy sometimes, all right? So if I stretch out a little bit more than 22 minutes, please give me a little mercy, but I will try to stop so you can get out of here, go about your day, and trusting that you can come and join us this evening as we worship the Lord, okay? I want to review a little bit just to catch you up. If you haven't been here, I believe you have been, but I feel like part of the assignment that the Lord gave me was to encourage you as a body in the understanding and the aspects of how important your prayer life is individually, how important your prayer life is corporately, and to increase the level of intercession through the heartbeat of this house. I believe that the house of prayer in which you are and which we are individually as well as corporately is really the generator that will accomplish the things that need to take place before we show up. You know, it's good to say, hey, praise God, 2,000 were saved. But I guarantee you there was some labor that went into prayer to make that happen because the devil will try to stop everything that is moving forward. You understand me? In other words, the devil will try to stop what God wants to do through this house. But you and I are called to fight the good fight of faith. You and I are here to make up a hedge and protect that which the Lord has called us to. And part of that is understanding the power of your prayer life, the power of intercession, the power that you have as you yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to pray in you and through you. Can you say amen? Thank God for praying in tongues. I believe that you're all Pentecostal enough that I can talk that openly to you. If you're not, and if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, this would be a good time for you to get that way because I need you. Do you understand me? We need you. We need you fully engaged in all that God has provided for all of us. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you shall receive power. Say power. All right. I don't know about you, but I need all the power I can get, all right? And in other words, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you so that you and I can be something that we weren't before, and that's a witness of the one who was, is, and is to come, and his name's Jesus. And as we understand that the world needs to see the real Jesus. They've seen a lot of imposters. Oh, you might as well shout amen. There's been a lot of deception. There's been a lot of miscommunication. There's been a lot of what I'll call the spirit of error that has tried to affect and tear apart the church of the living God. But Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Well, you and I are the church. This is the church of God. This house here is a local church with a worldwide vision. Can you shout amen? So we need all the power we can get individually, and then to join our faith together corporately so that we can accomplish more in less time than we ever have before. See, where unity is, there is a commanded blessing out of Psalm 133. In other words, we need the spirit of life to manifest in the depths of what we're dealing with in the culture in which we're a part of. In other words, you and I can change and shift cultures. You and I can understand we can break the power of the devil. We can break the powers of deception. We can come against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this world that try to captivate people, the blinders that the devil has put over the eyes of people's understanding, that you and I have the right and the privilege, and it's truly an honor that God has given us. He's given us a name. He's given us the same spirit that raised him up from the dead. He's given us the word that will not fall void. It will accomplish that what he pleases, and you and I are his voice in the earth today. You have the ability to declare and decree, and it shall be. Can you shout amen? So in understanding that you are a force to be reckoned with, my brother and sister, I want you to know the devil is absolutely in terror because you're here. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, it's time you do. But the process of it is be strong in the Lord. All right? It's not yourself. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It'll only be by his spirit. Well, the spirit and the word agree. And Paul said through the epistle of Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Is that true? Now, if you're going to be strong, then you got to get the right stuff on. Say, I need to wear the right stuff. Now, I got to put my Jesus on. I got to have my armor on. I got to have my loins girt about with truth, my breastplate of righteousness, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I got to keep my shield, and I got to shine that baby with the word of God. Because why? That shield of faith that you have is not the shield that you know up here. It's the shield that you got here, because your shield is built up of the revelation that you have ownership to. Do you understand me? In other words, with that shield of faith, you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. And I guarantee you, in the season that we're in, there'll be fiery darts come at us. But bless God, there's no one here going to be taken out. Can you shout amen? In other words, no weapon formed against you can prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. That means you and me, we're going to break its power before it ever hits its assignment. Because why? We're going to live, and we're going to declare the works of God, and we're going to accomplish the will and purposes of God in the earth today, because you were called for such a time as this, and you are the anointed, the appointed, and the chosen ones of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is your day and your hour to rise and shine like a noonday sun in the midst of one of the darkest hours that any creation has ever seen. And this, God called you, church. Can you shout amen? He has given you revelation. You have a depth of revelation. But it's time to understand that there's more to come, and God wants to use you in mighty, mighty ways throughout your purposes in your life. Amen? Now, I'm sorry. That clock. I don't have my shotgun with me. I left it at home. Anyhow, let me rehearse this, okay? I'll try to settle down here. Romans 12, in verse 12, it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. In the world, I think Jesus said, you'll have, that's a good refrigerator one. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but don't stop there. But be of good cheer. I, Jesus, has overcome the world. Amen? So in other words, it's already been won. So we can go through the tribulation. We can understand it's here, but understand we got a mindset of victory because it's already a done deal. Can you shout amen? So in 1 Peter 4:7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand, which we are certainly closer than Peter was. He says here, he says, the end of all things is at hand, and be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Say watch. Amen. Watch unto prayer. And above all things, how many is all things? Have fervent love amongst yourselves, and for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Where sin abounds, grace does what? Understand, you got grace that's sufficient for you to run your race so you don't fall into sin, so that you're not given into temptation, because you're holy as he is holy. And as he is, so are you in this world. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, my brother and sister. Can you shout amen? But it's up to you to walk the walk. It's up to you to stay close to him. It's up to you to resist the temptations when they come. It's up to you to guard your heart. It's up to you. Amen. We have responsibility as a church, right? Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, he's waiting on you and me. He's already moved. Can you say amen? It's our move. In the Passion Translation, it says, since we are approaching the end of all things, be intentional, purposeful. Boy, there's a good word for this house. And self-controlled so that you can be given to prayer. Say given to prayer. Some of the things I wrote down here, and I hear them being prayed out in the prayer room, and one of the questions I have is, will we be given to prayer for Abundant Life Center, which I see is happening, for the God-called pastor for this house? I see that happening. Can you say amen? Because we're in agreement on that. And then also for revival in our lives and in revival in the church, not just here, but throughout the Church of America and the churches of the world. Amen. Revival. So in seeing this, it says we are praying for revival. We're praying for the church here. We're praying for the churches outside. It says in the United States, in the nation, and for a world harvest of souls in this season. One of the keys, I want you to see that. Jesus said, you follow me, and I'll make you. What? Fishers of who? God so loved the world that he gave. And if he gave Jesus, why would we ever think he won't give us? Because he still loves the sinner. Thank God for those 2,000 souls that come to Jesus. But there's more out there. Can you say amen? See, the harvest is ripe. But my Bible says the labors are few. And then it says pray. Well, where do we start? We start in prayer. I got set up and go to Mexico. A pastor that had resigned his church and actually gave it to Dale Armstrong out of Meadville, Pennsylvania. His name was Ken. Still is, as far as I know. But he was birthed out of a ministry out of Virginia that was a very, very strong Pentecostal background, but very big in missions and in the prophetic. And the Heflin Camp, I don't know, some of you might have heard of that. But it basically was birthed out of the Azusa Street, and the members that started that come out of the Azusa Street move. But so he had some dynamics that are a little bit different than my foundation of Word of Faith, but I learned a lot from him. And he seen that I was a struggling youth pastor. What I mean by that is he knew that I was outside of my call and I was filling a need that needed to be filled because there was nobody else to do it. I know none of you have ever done that, right? Thank God for his grace. And, you know, sometimes it's just all hands on deck. And I know that's the way it's been here. All right? And bless you. If I had a hat on, I'd take it off to you, and I'd say, I honor you, my brother and sister, in the name of Jesus. Now, God is shifting the chessboard, and he's putting the right pieces into the right places so that we can get more done in the season that lies ahead. So I want you to expect it. So this brother says, I see you're struggling. He says, you know what you need? You need to try the mission field. He says, I want you to start here. You see these scriptures? I say, yeah, I see them. He says, the harvest is plentiful, and the labors are few. And then he says, Bob, you pray. Well, I thought, okay, I like to pray. I like the prayer room. I like to hang out with people praying. I wasn't real certain about all that they're going stuff. I was pretty comfortable. Maybe you've been there. Well, I start praying that God will send people into these harvest fields, and we had nations on our heart, and one of them wasn't Mexico. You understand me. But in the process of it and praying, you know the first labor that I know the Lord got a hold of? His name was B-O-B, if you can spell that, all right, that was me. So in other words, I got set up by this brother to endeavor to go, and I found, man, I was born for this. Do you understand me? In other words, it just lit up my world. I eventually left a youth pastor, and they got a good guy in there, and it went. But when I came back, I thought everything had changed because I had just experienced what the mission world will do to you when we come back into the comfort zone of the United States of America. And I know a lot of you have experienced that. Thank God for this great nation. But if we don't pray, we could lose what we have. And it's not based on the government. It's based on the church. Do you understand me? It's based on you and me, the body of Christ, to intercede, to stand in the gap, and to bring divine protection, divine coverage, and divine influence into the systems, into the government structure, and throughout the mountains of influence in this nation. We have a great responsibility. Can you shout amen? Because the hand of God is still on the United States of America. Hasn't lifted. I know we've missed it. I know we've fallen short. I know we've sinned. I know we've done a lot of things that we are repenting for and will continue to repent for in the name of Jesus Christ. Because why? I know the grace is still here on this nation to take its place and to accomplish what God has called us to do, the church of the United States of America. Now, in seeing that, that doesn't mean the devil won't come to kill, steal, destroy, and try to take it out before it's finished its course. But our course is not finished. Can you say amen to that? Am I in the right church here this morning? I was trusting I didn't hit the wrong door. I believe I did. I want to share with you, I shared this yesterday or last Sunday. In Isaiah 66:8, it says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? And this statement is the one I want you to settle with, because that's where I want to go from the next 7 minutes. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now that word travail means to dance, to whirl, to twist in pain. Sounds like childbirth, doesn't it, huh? It says, he says, to be distressed, to labor. Ladies, if you've had children, you know what it's like to be in labor. So involving painful effort, to labor with pain, to toil, Mr. Webster says in 1828, to suffer, oh, Jesus, help us, to suffer the pains of childbirth, to be in labor. I believe, this is my belief system, now, you can agree with me or you can just, you know, chuck it off. That's totally up to you. I'm not here to force you. The greatest need in the church, whether here or any church that is called and in covenant with the Lord Jesus, I believe that the world needs to see the real Jesus Christ in a revived church, a church that is lit with the fire of God, the passion of God, the influence of God, the power of God. In other words, a church that is equipped to do the works of Jesus in the earth today. These works, Jesus said it this way, these works and greater works shall you do because I'm going to the Father. Thank God he did not leave you and me comfortless. He gave us the power source, the Holy Spirit. Can you shout amen? Now, in seeing that, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. I want you to really take a look at this scripture. The real Jesus. Well, who's his body in the earth today? We are. And whose reflection are they seeing on us? But I know that's a faith statement in some circles. I'm not saying here, but I'm saying they're looking for Jesus, the real one, the anointed one, the all-sufficient one. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the lover of humanity. They're looking for the real Jesus in us. And I believe that, I don't know about you, maybe you have. I'm still en route. I'm not there yet. I'm a whole lot further than I used to be, but I have not totally arrived to where I'm going. I believe that there's more pruning. Oh, dear God, we don't want to hear that kind of stuff on a Sunday morning. There's more chastisement because he chastises those he loves. There's more correction. There's more revelation that I need to be transformed into his image. The question will be, will Bob open his heart up to allow the Holy Spirit to operate to that degree? Amen. My choice is yes, God. You know I need all the help you can give me. And that's always my prayer. I trust that's your prayer. Because why? I don't ever want to think that we are at our final destination because we're not. In other words, he started a good work in every one of us. And he is the author and the finisher. And what he authorized, he will finish. But it's not time to get off the operating table. Can you say amen? It's not time to squirm your way off the altar. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. In other words, I got to show up. What? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. He's not asking too much of you or me. Don't be conformed to what? But be transformed. How? So the entrance of his word brings us light. We need to know the perfect will of God on each one of our lives and on the house of God so that we're not doing the wrong thing. So that we are arrows in his quiver that are going to hit the target of the call that is upon us individually and corporately. We're not wasting time doing things of no eternal value. This is a critical hour, a critical time that you and I are here for. We're not here to play church. We're here to be the church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Did you find Galatians 4? You guys are sharper than, the sharpest knife in the whole bucket, all right? I'll tell Pastor Brian when he comes next week, you know what? When you come into this house, you're going to find out that this is the sharpest knife here, all right? These folks. We got to give these pastors a hard time, all right? Paul, in his writing here, he says in verse 19, my little children, now understand, he's addressing the church, of whom I travail in birth, say again, until Christ be what? In you. In other words, that word for meaning transformed or transfigured. The Amplified says it this way: my little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pains, until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you. Mr. Weiss says, concerning whom I am again striving with intense effort and anguish until Christ be outwardly expressed in you. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures quickly because of my time, but I know you know these truths. I'm not teaching you anything that you haven't already heard. I realize that. Colossians 1, 26 and 28 says, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations but is now made manifest to the saints, say that'd be us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. That word perfect means complete or of full age. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the what? Sons of God, meaning mature ones that can carry out the orders and the assignments of the Father. None of us are babies in this house. I don't see baby Christians here. All right, we need to bring some in, but I don't see them here. So you and I are at a level of maturity. Are we to the full extent? I don't think so. Now, maybe you could differ with me. You pick me up after service and we'll talk. But what I'm saying is there's more to be had. There's more to receive. There's areas in every one of our lives and in the life of this church to develop into a greater transformation of the reflection of Jesus. Because there's a dying world out there, and they need to see the real deal. And I believe I'm talking to the right house. I believe that this house is one. You understand? I wouldn't waste my time here if I didn't think that. I really wouldn't. I'd just be truthful with you, because why? I'm too old to waste my time. In other words, I want to invest my time into something that I know is going to bring change and transformation to everything they touch. I believe that what you put your hands to will prosper. Can you agree with me? I believe that you are called, anointed, and appointed for such a time as this. I believe that this is your greatest hour that you have ever been in. And I believe that God has started a really good work in you. I believe that you've come in to a place and understood that the revelation, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that has come into your heart has made you solid, and the winds have blown and the storms have come and you have not been moved, because why? Your house is built upon the rock in the name of Jesus Christ. But I guarantee you there will be storms that will hit this United States of America in the next 10 years, and it's up to the church to be able to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and bring the harvest in the midst of darkness, into the midst of deception, into the midst of an evil world. Because why? There'll be temptation in the world. There'll be things that'll take place, because it's written in the Word of God. These things shall come to pass. We're seeing the wars and the rumors of wars. We're seeing the love of many falling short. We're seeing all these things, my brother and sister. This ain't a fairy tale. This is the truth. But you and I are, that is not who we are. We are the church of the living God. We are the reflection of Jesus Christ. And he wants to reflect more his glory upon your life, upon your household, upon your family, upon your situation, upon this school, upon this church, and upon the outreaches that take place through this great work. God has got a hand on you, my friend, and the hand of the Lord. Lord, as we submit and we humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God, the due time has come, and he wants to exalt you. He wants to exalt you into a higher level of revelation, in a higher level of anointing, in a higher level of the power of demonstration. And that's who you are. I want to encourage you. Take ownership to who you are. You are his beloved. Can you shout amen in this? All right. I said all that to go here. Go to Romans chapter 8. I know you know these scriptures. I don't think Pastor Bill has any idea how hard it is to speak to people that have been in Bible school for 45 years. Amen. Wow! What an awesome work that God has done through this mighty brother of mine. I am honored to be here. I am honored to be with you, my brother and sister. But it's time to bring the harvest in. And you've been equipped for this. You, Abundant Life Center, have been equipped for this. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Say, I am called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Say this with me. I am justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Say, I am glorified. The glory that's on him, the Lord Jesus, according to John 17, is the same glory on us. Hallelujah. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The manifestations of the glory of God are the manifestations of who he is. And the way he manifests in your life might be different than the person next to you. And that's okay. But God wants to manifest his presence, his power, his anointing, who he is in you and through you to bring revelation and change and to bring people out of darkness into light in this day and this hour. I believe there's miracles setting in this house. I believe the healing power of God is in this house. I believe that your hands are anointed. I believe you have the mind of Christ. I believe you have the wisdom of God. I believe that you are anointed, appointed, and called for this day and this hour. I believe that this is your finest hour to rise and shine like a noonday sun in the midst of a dark hour. And I believe the glory of God will be manifested upon you, within you, and through you, that lives are going to be drastically changed because you show up. And when you show up, the brightness of the glory of God shows up, and you bring the light and illumination of the truths of God's word into the hearts of humanity, and the entrance of that word will bring them into light. And when the light shines, the darkness has to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, verse 31, and I've gone over my limit. What shall Abundant Life Center say to these things? If God be for us, who? Say who. I like one version. I don't know what version it is. It says, King James says, who will be against us? This version says, it don't matter who's against us. Can you say amen? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, put your hand on your midsection if you don't mind. I'm going to pray for you individually. The power of God is in this house. His healing virtue is here. His restoration, the anointing to restore all that the enemy has stolen is here. Holy Spirit, you quicken mortal flesh here, and you quicken, cause the hearts of each one in this house, those that are connected to us, to come in to divine order, divine wholeness, total restoration, stronger than ever before. Lord, I thank you right now that your hand rests upon my brothers and sisters, that you're putting a fresh anointing upon them individually and upon this house corporately. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the ability to tap in the greater grace that is available for us to take our place in this end season. I thank you for quickening understanding, the ability to hear, to see, by the spirit of seeing and knowing, to be fully aware of what you're doing individually, fully aware of what you're doing corporately, as you raise this house up to be the divine reflection of the person of the King and of the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.